Late in 2015, while American media fixated on campaign rallies and poll numbers, something extraordinary was unfolding on a yacht floating in the Red Sea. Leaders from Russia, Israel, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Bahrain, and Egypt gathered to craft an audacious plan: reshape the Middle East's political landscape with American power as their instrument. Their chosen vehicle? A businessman whose empire teetered on debt, whose principles shifted with opportunity, and whose appetite for wealth made him susceptible to influence. This wasn't typical diplomatic maneuvering. This was a continental conspiracy that would quietly alter global politics while most of us scrolled through Twitter debates. What emerged was a shadow network so sophisticated that it bypassed traditional diplomatic channels entirely, creating unofficial pathways between foreign powers and an incoming administration. The architects of this scheme understood something crucial. In modern geopolitics, the most consequential deals happen far from treaty tables and press conferences. George Nader navigated international power corridors with disturbing ease, despite a criminal history that should have disqualified him from serious diplomacy. This Lebanese-American businessman, later convicted on child pornography charges, possessed extraordinary access to both Israeli and Muslim leaders. Ambassador Martin Indek confirmed Nader had been a very effective under-the-radar operator in peace efforts during the 1990s, making 16 trips to Syria in 1998 alone. Alongside him operated Eric Prince, the Blackwater founder who built a mercenary empire in the UAE under the codename Kingfish. Prince's company implemented a controversial no-Muslims policy while securing nuclear facility contracts, with former colleagues alleging he systematically skimmed millions through shell companies. Thomas Barrack, whom Trump confidant Roger Stone called the only person I know who the president speaks to as a peer, held $70 million of Jared Kushner's debt, creating leverage over key White House decisions. An accomplished Arabic speaker who'd built his fortune networking with Persian Gulf royals, Barrack functioned as a sophisticated concierge to Saudi and Emirati elites. His colony capital managed billions in Middle Eastern money, blurring lines between business and diplomacy. These weren't diplomats working through official channels. They were power brokers who understood that real influence flows through personal relationships and financial entanglements. The conspiracy centered on a geopolitical realignment. Saudi Arabia, UAE, Israel, Bahrain, and Egypt would support Trump's election while pushing to remove Russian sanctions, unlocking hundreds of billions in frozen Kremlin assets. In return, Russia would abandon Iran, isolating Tehran and enabling the coalition to counter their shared adversary. Michael Flynn, Trump's future national security advisor, emerged as the key orchestrator. From summer 2015 through mid-2016, Flynn operated as an undisclosed agent advancing plans to build nuclear reactors across the Middle East, combining Russian technology, Saudi financing, and Ukrainian generators. Success required lifting U.S. sanctions on Russia. Flynn conducted secret diplomatic missions to Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Israel in 2015, later omitting these trips from federal security clearance forms, a serious legal violation. The nuclear plan carried significant proliferation risks by circumventing 123 agreement safeguards preventing weaponization of civilian nuclear technology. Trump publicly endorsed this at a March 2016 CNN town hall, declaring Saudi nuclear armament was absolutely possible. Anticipated benefits included isolating Turkey and Qatar, American military support against Iran, massive infrastructure investments, and a new military alliance led by Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and UAE's Mohammed bin Zayed, consolidating authoritarian power while marginalizing pro-democracy movements. Trump's self-proclaimed greed made him an attractive target. Despite later claiming, "I have no financial interests in Saudi Arabia," Saudi Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal rescued him from bankruptcy twice, purchasing Trump's yacht for $20 million in 1991 and his Plaza hotel stake for $328 million in 1995. Trump sold expensive apartments to Saudi buyers and an entire Trump World Tower floor to the Saudi government for $12 million in 2001. During his 2015 campaign, he registered 8 Saudi-linked companies and openly boasted, "Saudi Arabia, I like the Saudis. They're very nice. I make a lot of money with them." Trump's mysterious golf investments raised further questions. In 2014, the Trump Organization purchased Scotland's Turnberry Resort for $48.5 million, $44.2 million less than the Emiratis had paid 6 years earlier, then announced $130 million in improvements despite annual pre-tax income of only $106 million. By 2018, Trump Turnberry had lost $39 million, yet Trump announced an additional $200 million investment in Trump Aberdeen. When asked about funding after the 2008 recession, Eric Trump told a reporter, "We don't rely on American banks. We have all the funding we need out of Russia." These financial connections created leverage points for foreign powers. Days before Trump's inauguration, Eric Prince traveled to the Seychelles for a secret meeting arranged by UAE's MBZ with Kirill Dmitriev, head of Russia's sovereign wealth fund and close Putin ally. The meeting aimed to establish a back channel between the incoming administration and the Kremlin. Attendees included Nader, Prince, MBZ, UAE intelligence chief Hamad al-Mazrui, Mohamed Dahlan, and Dmitriev. The apparent purpose? A grand bargain where Trump would drop sanctions on Russia in exchange for the Kremlin limiting assistance to Iran. Prince presented himself as Trump's unofficial envoy, having received his marching orders from a December 2016 Trump Tower meeting. The Washington Post reported, MBZ wouldn't have arranged such meetings without advance approval from top aides to both Trump and Putin. When testifying to Congress, Prince omitted mentioning al-Mazrui and Dahlan's presence, claiming he merely had a chance encounter with Dmitriev. Emirati sources later revealed Dahlan met with Eric Prince and the Russians several times in the Maldives, meetings Prince never disclosed to Congress. This wasn't post-election improvisation. This was systematic establishment of unofficial diplomatic channels bypassing traditional oversight. In June 2017, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Bahrain, and Egypt blockaded Qatar, a key U.S. ally hosting America's largest Middle East military base. Trump immediately tweeted support, declaring Qatar a funder of terrorism at a very high level. Secretary Tillerson later revealed the claim had been written by UAE Ambassador Youssef Al-Otaiba and delivered to Trump by Jared Kushner. The Guardian reported Russian hackers orchestrated fake news on Qatar's state television, providing cover for the blockade. This diplomatic abandonment punished Qatar for refusing to bail out Jared Kushner's real estate troubles. During Trump's Saudi Arabia visit, Thomas Barrack finalized a $70 million deal for One California Plaza, exactly matching Barrack's holdings of Kushner's debt. Weeks earlier, Kushner's family business received $30 million from Menorah Mivtachem. American foreign policy had become a tool for personal financial interests. Today's Middle East has transformed dramatically. Israel and Sunni nations now collaborate openly through diplomatic summits, sharing military technology and intelligence against Iran. Russia has established itself as a regional power broker through its Syrian military presence. The Israeli-Palestinian conflict has declined in priority among Arab leaders focused on economic diversification and countering Iranian influence. In February 2019, Netanyahu publicly confirmed this shift, stating, "Arab representatives are sitting down together with Israel in order to advance the common interest of war with Iran." Despite federal investigations, the conspiracy's elements persist. Saudi Arabia's nuclear program advances, with its first reactor nearing completion. Egypt, under el-Sisi, has consolidated authoritarian control while receiving billions in U.S. military aid. The UAE has expanded its military capabilities, developing sophisticated special operations forces and strategic bases across the Horn of Africa. U.S. foreign policy remains aligned with these regional powers, often prioritizing strategic interests over democratic values. The Red Sea conspiracy represents one of history's most extensive foreign influence operations, fundamentally reshaping global politics through financial entanglements and institutional manipulation. Its architects understood that power flows through networks of dependency rather than official channels, building a system where business deals become foreign policy, personal debt creates national obligation, and public-private boundaries dissolve. We inhabit their designed world, where consequential decisions happen in shadows, accountability vanishes into shell companies, and democracy becomes negotiable. The question isn't whether we can restore transparent governance, but whether we'll recognize the game before the next conspiracy reshapes our future.